Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your goodness. We are thankful for your love. And Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that we can look at and you give us insight and we understand the things going on around us. And God, we praise you for that. We praise you for your protection. And we praise you for your direction. And God, we just look to you for all things and humbly submit ourselves and just praise your name. And I pray, God, you'll just really give us insight this morning on what you're doing. We understand better the world around us. And God, that understand better our place in it to call out to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd open each heart to receive from the Spirit. And you'd just, Lord, just fill me that I just speak things of the Spirit, be honoring to you, and just communicate your power and love in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you again, the title of the message is The Entity of Evil. So everybody can say, oh, joy. I think it's really important for us to look at this because it's a reality. It's a reality. And we're going to open up with 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. An overhead here. And it says this: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Okay, that's pretty descriptive. That's pretty descriptive of Satan and what he's doing. Now, one of the things about looking at this is important is that we look around us. We can't help but look around us. And we are, I'll say believers are, but I think a lot of people that aren't believers, we're amazed at the corruption. We're amazed at the corruption. We're amazed at the evilness. We're amazed at the twisted thinking or just pure lies that are in this world. And unless we understand the entity of evil, we'll never be able to grasp what is happening around us and overcome it. We won't be able to understand it. And the whole thing is that when God looks at this, he totally understands it. He totally knows what's going on. Nothing is a surprise. And so it's important for us to be able to look to him and be engaged in his purposes, in his plan, have an eternal view, and to move forward so we don't get discouraged. The Bible talks all the way, be joyful. Don't get discouraged. Be joyful. And you're looking out, watch the news, there's nothing to be joyful about. But no, God knew this. And by the way, it's been tremendous. The world situation has been tremendously consistent from the very beginning. From the very beginning, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. So, as we look at it and understand the entity of evil, and the reason I titled the message "The Entity of Evil," sometimes you know, as well, we'll talk about the devil, Satan, evil, or stuff. But no, evil is an entity. It's an entity. It's not like a concept, a thought. No, it's an entity. All right. Well, I just don't believe in evil. Well, you know. If I told my wife, I don't believe in you, and tell somebody else, and you say, well, I don't believe in your wife either. No, she's an entity. By her very presence, okay, she communicates who she is, and she'll always communicate that. I don't care what you say. Well, that's the way the devil is. Satan is an entity. You can't explain him away. You can't explain my wife away. You can't explain the devil away. He's an entity. He's present. And we see here his little job description, all right? And it's like, devil prowls around, roaring like a lion, seeking someone to hug, kiss, and hold. In other words, devour. See, and so we need to understand that. We need to understand that so we can understand the world we're living in, the world we're living in. Now, in Job, in the book of Job, we see God. We have a picture of God there. It's the entity of good. I mean, that's probably not lifting him up as high as he should be, but God is the entity of good. And there in the book of Job, we see Satan, the entity of evil, conversing with God, the entity of good. So now you've got the whole things, what the presence of the world is, with these two entities, and they're actually communicating. They're actually communicating with each other. Beyond anything else, they're talking to each other. That should give us pause. It's not one concept talking to another concept. It's one person talking to another person. Spiritual, one's a deity, one's a created being, but they're entities, identifiable entities. And so that's what we see here. And this account we see here in Job, this entity of evil, is what we are experiencing today. What's happened in Job is what we're experiencing today. Now, I mean the principle of the entities interacting. Now, what I want to do, and I don't have an overhead for this, and I'm going to read 6 verses out of the book of Job. I just want you to listen and follow. There's not an overhead, but I just want you to follow along. And I want you just to be amazed at these two entities having a discussion, which I'll let you know up front. I don't understand this. I don't understand. You know, okay, God, this is your chance. You know, just stomp him right now. You know, this is not what happened. This is not what happened. So these entities are interacting. And it, I don't know, this comes to mind. Maybe it's like, okay, here we got the United States. What's going on? We got these two entities interacting. Over this country. Well, we will. No, you ain't doing nothing. These two entities are interacting. Okay? So it tells us what's going on. Something's going on in the world bigger than our life. Bigger than the Congress. Bigger than the president. Something is going on. Now, and what we have here is just a little insight. Doesn't explain everything, but here's a little insight. So, okay, you ready? Just listen as I read through this. Here's this conversation. This is the conversation over the U.S. This is the conversation over me. This is the conversation over you. You. And they're going to talk about Job. I always think about Job. Job was a farmer, you know. He's out in his garden, and he's hoeing, you know, he's hoeing the weeds, and, you know, he's in there, he goes and feeds the cows, and, you know, he's just doing his stuff. And yet, God and Satan are having a discussion about him. I mean, I'm just hoeing the garden. Well, you know, no sense talking about me, I ain't doing nothing, you know, but they're talking about Job. The whole world right now is looking about Job. Again, that's based on Jesus' death on the cross. Are you special before Christ? Come on. Yes. Satan, God and Satan, be having a discussion about you. Now, I mean, it's just the picture. I just want to bring it home. Okay, listen to this. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, now, in this context, it means sons of God. It means created beings by God. That's in this context because it's talking about angels. Okay, they're creations, all right? It's not people, as we'll see in this. So, and I'll just read it there. There was a day when the sons of God, all the angels and Satan, came to present themselves to the Lord. That makes sense. All the angels are coming, present themselves to the Lord. And Satan also came among them. What is Satan? Satan's a fallen angel. So all the angels came. And Satan came before. He'd been there before. He knows the drill. Okay? And so Satan came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, from walking upon it up and down." What did Satan just say? Where'd you come from? From the earth. It's what I own, and I'm walking up and down it, taking care of what I own. That's what he's saying. Now, God could have said, "You don't own that. You big liar. It's mine. It's not yours. He didn't say that. But anyway, understand what Satan said to God. From the earth, walking up and down it. You know? See? That's what I do in our backyard. I walk up and down it. Like that. And then Linda looks out the window and says, it needs to be mowed while you're walking up and down it. Okay, so anyway, this is what Satan's doing. So it's his, which is not denied anywhere in Scripture. It's never denied that the earth is Satan's. Never. In fact, it's reinforced. Do you know what the temptations with Christ was? Satan took Christ to the mountains. He goes, look at all I have. If you obey me, I'll give it to you. Whose is it? It was his to give. It was his to give. Okay? And we just go on and on like that. But anyway, so this is like no secret, talking to God. Then he goes and said, so the Lord answers Satan. He answers Satan, which I would say, he'd go, it's not yours. You know, you come up here, you big bully. It's not yours. That's not why. God knows it's Satan's. So here's how God answers Satan. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Do you know what God just said to Satan? Do you know what God said to Satan? You don't own it all. Look at Job. He's mine. You don't own it all. That's what he said. Then Satan answered the Lord. See this conversation? They're just going back and forth. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you, God, not put a hedge around Job and his house and all that he owns on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in his land. But I tell you what, if you stretch out your hand and touch what he has, what he owns, and his health, he will curse you to your face. What'd Satan say? What'd Satan say? No, he just loves you because of what you gave him. You gave him a nice place. You gave him hell. It's the only reason he loves you. Take it away and he'll curse you to his face. So, God answers Satan, and pay close attention to what God says to Satan. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Okay, here's Job. Here's Job. The garden's looking good. Cow's looking good. You know, God's good. You know, what if he heard his conversation? Okay, no, he loves me. He can take everything he has. And you're going, oh, crap. I mean, whoa, hey, whoa, you know, this is like, but Job wasn't part of the conversation. Is there any problem interpreting what this says? Anything. God always makes rich. God always makes healthy. God always blesses in every situation. You never face any problems. You never have any issues to do. You never do. Everything's going to work out perfect. Job would go, maybe not. I mean, things were going good. I mean, God said, I'm blessed. I was doing good until God and Satan had this conversation. You didn't have to say that conversation. You just let me, I got, you know, God, I signed a pact. You know, blood brothers, whatever. I'm with you. But that's, so God's answer to Satan was Job. God's answer to Satan is you. Is you. Amen? Is you because everything went perfect. Look, you know. Because, no, they'll love me no matter what, no matter what happens. Because it's relational. It's relational. And that's the issue. Satan knew it was relational. God knew it was relational. Satan knew it was relational. He knew it was relational, big time, you know. And God knew it was relational, and that's what they're dealing with. So they have to expose the relationship. They have to expose the relationship. So it's like, oh my goodness. So what we have here, understand, Satan, now again, we're understanding the entity of evil that's operation right now. This is happening right now, okay? Satan, the entity of evil, presents his claims to God. You give him stuff, he'll love you back. You don't give him stuff, he ain't gonna like you. So, and then the totality of God's answer rests on the person of Job. And what God says, it's very interesting, and you miss it in the English. You totally miss it in English. So God's answer, no, that's not true. Have you considered my servant Job? The word consider means he's talking to Satan. Satan's got the whole world, you know? He goes, but have you considered my servant Job? The word consider literally means, have you fastened your eyes upon him and him alone? Now, this start being fighting words. Now it's starting being fighting words. On the whole world, have you literally set your eyes on Job and Job alone? You don't own it all. See? I mean, it's amazing when you look at that. See, God's people are the answer to all Satan's evil. We're the answer. When God has an argument with Satan, he goes, no, just look at Wallace. I would say, no, look at Rich. You know, that is. But see, that's what he says. That's how he comments. See, God basically says, Job will love me and trust me no matter what you do to him, Satan. Have your best shot. That's what he says. Have your best shot. What do you think Satan's reaction is? He's got the whole world. What is reaction? What is Satan's reaction after this conversation? He is furious at the whole world. Job. He's furious at Job. Why? Because God just said, he's my man. He is furious. He didn't care if he has the whole world. He is furious at Job. And which the rest, if you go through read the rest of the book, that you see what Satan did. You see what Satan did. He was allowed to do unspeakable things. He was allowed. And Satan did it with a fury, which goes back to 1 Peter, you know what it says. Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, so as we look at, now we're starting to kind of understand what's happening. You know, it's like, hey, we're just here, you know, you raise your kids up, they go to college, get a good job, you know, have kids, you have grandkids, and everybody just go hunky-dory, happy. Ain't happening. Not happening. Okay, and again, the Bible tells us it's not happening. It's not happening, all right? And so, what it's here to understand is that Satan is a person, the entity of evil. He is pure evil, desiring to kill and destroy. Now, when you think about it, well, if I go to the best schools, I get the best job, you know, I get the best retirement, I get the best, everything will work out, you know. And we process that, and I think that's good to think that way. But what's the hiccup in that? What's the hiccup in that plan? The entity of evil. The entity of evil is present. Evil is present. And he means to do harm. Well, it doesn't say, it says kill and destroy. I mean, he's just really a bad character. He really is a bad character. Remember what Satan said to say. What Satan said to Jesus. Look, it's all mine. Worship me. I give it to you. No. No. Fascinating. So what we have here, Satan is a prowling lion, attacks suddenly, viciously, and often when its unsuspecting victim is engaged in routine activities. I got to ask you something. You're just going along, everything, you're just plucking along, happy, and then everything falls apart. Like, and I mean like, and I don't want to be too frivolous, but you drive behind, you got a flat tire, you can't get out, you wave somebody down, the guy pulls behind you and then rear ends you and then knocks your car into a ditch and he's drunk, and you're going, What is this nonsense? So you get somebody, they finally take you home, you know, and they get your car to the station, you come in, and you go in, and you sit there, and you find the air conditioning's out in the house. And you go, it's burning up. So you call a repairman. Everybody's out of power. We can't get to you for 2 months. You go, what is this? God, where are you? He said, I'm just showing you off to Satan because you're going to praise me in every situation. How many times does the Bible say that? Praise me in all things. See, we take it as every time you're nice to me, I'm going to praise you. You know, that's what we take it as. Praise you in all things. Praise you in all things, you know. So what you have here is we go through and you go, how many of you have asked, why? Why is he picking on me? What's this, a song about that? Something about? Why is he picking on me? You know, why? And it comes, because God said, set your eyes upon her. That's why. That's why. You know? And Satan, and then at the end we go back, and you know, there's always talk, that talks in the Bible about Satan is an accuser, and Jesus is intercessor. And that says it. Two different parts of the Bible, but it does say it. So Satan's accusing, and Jesus is intercessing. Satan is going, they ain't worth quarter. They fall down every time. And Jesus is intercessing. I paid the penalty. They'll come through. See, they got this thing going. So he is full in it. Accuser in ways. See, I told you he wouldn't praise you when you did that. I told you. That's an accuser. And he has something to accuse. And since he's the entity of evil, he'll make something to accuse. Well, why? Because God let him. Because we are the center of God's attack on Satan. And we are supposed to praise and honor God in all things. How many verses say that? How many verses say that? You know, we interpret that different, you know. And almost to make those verses worthwhile, something has to go wrong. Has to. Now, okay, so again, there's evil. And it's not happenstance. It is not happenstance. It's not happenstance. Now, so what we see these things, and again, we all have our little personal things, and then you can have some that is more tragic than others. I mean, but, you know, you have all these things happening to you. Now, the devil refers to, in the Bible, the devil refers to a spiritual being who is active in active rebellion against God. See, Satan's not in rebellion against us. He's in rebellion against God. That's his rebellion. So we're kind of the ones that are the chief players in this rebellion. So he is a spiritual being who is in active rebellion against God and who has leadership over many demons just like himself. He's got a whole crew. Anybody ever read the Screwtape Letters? You all read the Screwtape Letters. There was C.S. Lewis. He had his act together. But it talks about, and they you have these demons come in, and evidently Satan's smarter than other demons. I don't know how the whole thing worked, but they're all fallen angels. And so these other demons, you know, they're messing with people, and they come in and say, man, I did this and this, and this didn't work. And he's listen, don't worry. I know where this guy. Go back and do this. He's kind of running the show, you know, like that. Like a good CEO, I guess. So you've got this whole mass of things going on to cause chaos, havoc in the world. That chaos and havoc, again, to understand, is kill and destroy. I won't hurt you, your very core. I won't hurt you to your very core. And again, why is he so upset with us? Why with us? Because God said, have you considered my servant Wallace? That's why he gets upset. But God, come on. Let's talk to him. And it's, or I haven't considered my servant is Adam. Have you considered my servant Adam? That's the reason Satan's upset with us. I mean, just kind of, But that's what's happening. So let's understand this dynamic is happening all around us. It's happening all around us, and it explains things. Now, I want to share some. And so Peter views Satan as a cunning and evil person, evil being, who has the ability and the propensity to attack Christians. Peter says it clearly. I mean, it says it all through the propensity and the ability to attack Christians. Well, why about all the underbelievers? Because they're all trucking along with him. They're trucking along with him, okay? He uses them for evil purposes, but they're trucking with him, all right? The church who has an understanding is not. And now, so we need to understand this, that this personal evil and this propensity to harm us is present. We need to understand it, or we're just going to complain. We're just never going to understand what is going on. What is going on? Now, and again, I don't want to say, okay, God does this. He just does it to mediocre Christians and Christians very far along. And some super Christian, they never have any. No. The super Christian I know is the Apostle Paul. And he suffered worse than anybody. See, now, the more blessing, the more gifting, the more suffering. All through Scripture. See? Why? Because the greater example. But I don't want to be example. No, the greater example for God in heaven when he told Satan, behold my servant, consider him. That's what's going on. See what I'm saying? And it's all here. It's all in the Scripture here. No one likes to stay on it. No one wants to preach on it, and just cause light right now. I said, oh my God, I'll be glad dinner's here. This is a mess. But it's the truth. We look around the world and see the mess. This is why. It's not God doesn't know. God is working in it. He is working in it with us. He is working in it with us. Now, as a note, just to help us to understand, Satan deceives people. He deceives people. And his primary mode is through people, okay? Because just like, hey, we talk, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can prompt me and lead me into everything I'm supposed to do. Amen? I think I've even preached that 3 or 4 times, like that. But what Satan does, Satan uses people. Comes on them, influences them. Can even get to a point of possessing them. He influences them to do what he wants them to do. It's people. Satan works through people. Here's Satan. He's got horns. He's got a tail and scares me to death every night. I see red glowing eyes. Need some counseling. Hey, because it didn't happen. That's not how he works. There's no purpose in that. How he works. He influences and empowers people to carry out his purposes. You know what the Antichrist is? The Antichrist, the coming Antichrist? He is incarnate evil. He is Satan incarnate. He is totally consumed by the person of Satan. He is brilliant. He has unbelievable influence because he has supernatural spiritual power, evil power that comes from Satan. Satan, he's incarnate. God, the Antichrist, is a person. And he can be sweet and kind when he wants to, but his evil purpose is to destroy. Amen? So God uses people. Through the Spirit, he comes and puts thoughts in our minds. enters in and moves us to do certain things for his purposes. And there's different levels. You know, there's different levels. But he influences people. He influences people. He uses people. He deceives people, and he uses people. Now, so in the New Testament, the New Testament gives a few characteristics that's helpful. It's very, very helpful, and that we can understand. Again, we don't want to go around scared to death, but at the same time, we want to be aware of what's happening. Where? So, certain characteristics which we may recognize may be caused or in part caused by the devil or demons. And here's something. These are biblically based. So, okay, bizarre and violent, irrational behavior. Especially opposing the gospel or Christians. Just bring up the gospel news, they just go berserk. It's nuts. You know, it's just like you can talk about anything in the world, but you bring up gospel and Christianity and just you can't interact with them. That's an indication. It may not be all, but it's a sure indication. It's demonic, inspired. And so you see these people. Have you ever wondered, you watch TV? I mean, you can be anything. You can be a Buddhist, you can be a Muslim, you can be Hare Krishna, you can be anything, anything. But you can't be a Christian. There's an irrational opposition on the news to Christian. It's demonic. It shows you to the level that the demonic has moved. It's demonic. So you understand what? Well, if we could just talk to them. No, it's not going to work because it's demonic. They're demonic. Demonically influenced. And everybody doesn't have to be demonic. You just need, you know, three or four and then find a few other, you know, sinners to come along with you. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, so that's one thing. Bizarre and violent, irrational behavior, especially in opposition to the gospel of Christians. Malicious slander and falsehood in speech. Just consumed liars. Lie about everything. How many times? They lie about everything. You just lie. It's demonic. See? And they don't care. No, it's demonic. Because the point is not the truth. The point is to control. The point is to deceive. And of course, Christians shouldn't be deceived because we know the truth. We know the truth, okay? Which make them really upset at us. You know. Okay, that's one thing. Bondage to self-destructive behavior. Self-destructive behavior. It's demonic. Demonically influenced. I'm not saying these people are possessed by that, but it's demonic influence because he wants you to harm yourself because he wants to destroy you. There's a parable in the Gospels, and it's a demonic. It's in this garden and graveyard, demonic, and he howls all night and cuts himself. He cuts himself. There's your new. He's totally consumed by death, and he cuts himself. How many people, and I know maybe you've got any kids going through it and stuff, and they cut themselves. That's not a mental issue. It's demonic influence. It's demonic. See, we just need to know. I mean, you just need, he's evil. Do you think he wants your children? Of course he does. Of course he does. Okay, so stubborn advocacy of false doctrine. You talk to somebody and that just false doctrine, whatever. Just hung up on, you can't get past this. They're just hung up. They won't listen to anyone. And it's a false doctrine. Well, it's anti-Christian doctrine hung up. That indication of demonic oppression. See, what Satan will do is, well, let's just, he has no intention of just talking. He has intention of deceiving, you know. And there's certain people he doesn't want to talk to, you know, because he can't get any place. But there's other people he thinks he can get to talk to. See, let's just talk. But no, what it is he's hung on false doctrines, but he needs to talk. Now, I have to let you know that Satan is really smart. The demons are really smart. I just want to let, now this is me talking. How long have Satan and the demons been around? Since creation. That means they have witnessed every human behavior and attitude and argument since creation. They've seen it. And that's stupid. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. It's not stupid. But they understand. Nothing's slipping by. And they use it. Evil. Evil. See? So just understand that. You don't sit and talk. No, that's, you know. No, that's because they're not open to hear. They're open to deceive and confuse. Deceive and confuse. Let's see. The sudden, unexplained onslaughts of emotion inappropriate for the situation. Just blowing up on something. You know, he's like, what's going on here? Now, but what you, but again, this is supposed to help us so that we just don't walk into Satan's nest and get all wrapped up in it and confused. We can put a step back and say, okay, wait a minute, something's not right here. Is this for our protection so that we understand what's going on? And again, he tempts all of us. You know, he gives thoughts. I'll share this. You know, I think it's humorous. But it's like, I get up here, and I've told you before, I said, gosh, this came to mind. I want to share with you what happened. I feel the Lord brought this old story or something. I can supplement. You meant the message, and hopefully, and you can tell if it encourages you and it fits, right? Sometimes I get a thought, I go, oh, man, what brought that on? I mean, a lot literally up here is like, where did that come from? You know, I ask you, where did it come from? Satan. I'm susceptible. It's like, but it's like, if you're walking with the Lord and you understand, you go, oh, you say, no, I'm perfect. Jesus, cleanse my mind of that thought. See? Happens. It's a spiritual world. It's a spiritual world. And we all are open to those things. Now, also here, and I bet a lot of people can do this, and this is the last one. It says, often believers will have a deep spiritual uneasiness, which may be called discernment about evil. How many times have you come and you said, you know, this doesn't feel right. This place doesn't feel right. This person doesn't feel, they seem nice, it just doesn't feel, I don't need to go in there. This is not, well, we'll go, but that's fine, y'all go. Something telling me I don't need to go there. And you may not be able to say anything. I just, y'all go ahead and stop me. Spiritual discernment. God said, you don't need to be. And by the way, there are certain things people can go to that you can't go to. I mean, because people are different, you know. But you have to be aware. It's spiritual discernment. Now, you got to understand, this is what's happening. This is what this world is going on around us. And we think, you know, it's we have everything under control. The world is in conflict. It is in conflict. The entity of evil is at work. 1 John 5:19, you've heard me say this before. We know that we are from God. All God's people. Amen. We know that we are from God. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. How much of the world lies in the power of the evil one? The whole world. Jesus, I'll give you this whole thing. Just worship me. See, what? It's his. He's running it. Oh, God's running this thing. Now, again, God's got this in his hands. All right, but he says Satan's running it. And the proof that Satan's not winning is us. Considered my servant, put your name there. See, that's the way you win this thing. The world is a spiritually dangerous place because the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Christ keeps the believer safe from harm in battle from the evil one. However, the conflict still continues. That's it. We need to understand that most of the evil around us is carried out by people's selfish, fleshly, sinful desires. Just being sinful people. They're not influenced by nothing but their own passions and stuff. However, we also need to know that Satan is moving with unbelievers, prompting them to do his evil, destructive will. Therefore, when we share with unbelievers, we need to face the possibility that there's a presence of the entity of evil. We need to be aware. That's a possibility. Amen? Now, Jesus says something fascinating, and he talks about, you know, Jesus, it's, I mean, Jesus talked about devil and the hell more than anybody else. Rest of the apostles go, I ain't touching that 10-foot pole. Just listen, that's too deep for me. You know, like, but Jesus is one. It tells us. The apostles don't tell us that much. They don't tell us that much. But so what we have, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus basically made the comment. He says, if I cast a demon out from among you, the kingdom of God has come and it's working. He's going, I just overrode the demonic. Boom, they're gone. Now it's working because of what I just cast out the demon. Now, the next verse, he says this. And it highlights what's going on with the people around us. And that's what we need to understand when we're talking to people around us. He says this. How can someone enter a strong man's house, Satan's house? Someone possessed by Satan, influenced by Satan. How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, free him from this, unless he first binds the strong man? Now, this is huge, because you go in and you got this entity of evil, or what you think of it, and you go, I don't know how to do that. Then you say, you have to bind the strong man. And then you can enter the house. You got to know what's going on. You recognize it, and you bind it. And, you know, I don't ever do this out loud. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know. Now, but I think it. You know, it's like, hey, Lord, you got to take care of this. This is, bind the evil one in this discussion. Bind him. You take, now give me the words to say, because there's something bigger going on than just me. See, you must first bind the strong man. Who's the strong man? He's Satan. You got to speak to it. Again, maybe not out loud, verbally, you know, but you have to know what's going on. See, by the greater power of Jesus, we can bind the strong man, Satan, and plunder his house. So the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. Now, this is seeing in the spirit and taking spiritual territory. See, we're so grasped to the physical sometimes, we think it's like, okay, no, it's a spiritual and it's moving like that. And so as we move, that spirit moves with us. And so we take that spiritual territory as we move forward or as we pray. See, we're taking spiritual territory that Satan's in possession of. And that's the only way to take spiritual territory is to pray that God moves before us like that. Because it's ultimately God, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is the greater power here. And again, sometimes you watch TVs and you see exorcism and stuff. I told you to see the movie Exorcism. None of y'all know what I was talking about. It's 1970. Anyway, you should not see that movie. But anyway, it's a typical movie. I mean, little old girl head turns around and she spits on you. I mean, that's just a blast. But what they're doing, they're performing an exorcist in this. I mean, it's a Hollywood movie like that. Well, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. All you do is speak the word. Speak the word. See, you don't have to do the dance, get smoke and lights and, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And you see where a simple word of Jesus binds the enemy. And it's like when Peter got off kilter, you know, and he said, you can't do that, Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You hinder me. Where'd Satan's thought come from? Where'd Peter's thought come from? I mean, Satan. Jesus goes, Peter, get behind me, Satan. It's a word, truth. Get behind you, move. You're gathering spiritual territory because God moves his spiritual territory. See? So we have that's a help to us now, leading all the way to this. You go, oh my gosh, I'm afraid to go home, afraid to get the kids, I don't know. Won't go in the room by yourself without your husband, or, you know, won't let your kids bump. No, it's just telling you what's happening, but what it is, the protection is just the word. The word, a prayer, a word over them, pray over them, speak to them in the spirit, cover them, go before them. You go on a trip, you pray for them. angels around us and take us there safely, you know. You're gaining spiritual territory. Territory is in the spirit, you know, and God moves through the population. So it doesn't have to be, you know, the hunk of a spot. It flows out wherever you go. That's spiritual territory. Now, so bottom line, here we have all this. Now we understand, and we look around the world. Why is this happening? You know full well why it's happening. You know full well why it's happening. Satan is running amok. The amok. But on the other hand, we have nothing to fear from Satan. Nothing. Because God protects us. But we need to understand, fully understand, that there's an entity of evil and his demons exist. You've got to know it's a truth. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to, because you stand it. And we move in and we take spiritual territory. We pray and we take spiritual territory. We're constantly taking spiritual territory. And that's what the church is to do, is to move out in the communities and everything and take spiritual territory. Like that. Someone comes up, now first thing you do, discern, is it entity of evil? And if it is, you speak against it. You bind that in your mind, you know. See? And by the way, then you speak the truth, they will reject you. See, like that, or fight with you. And you never fight, you never argue like with that. Now, I'm going to say something here because I feel like I have to say it. And I've seen it on TV and stuff, and some of the stuff's happened in Afghanistan, and, which was totally predictable. And stories coming out, you know, entire Bible studies being, people being slaughtered, people being slaughtered in the street, Christians being slaughtered. And you go, how does this fit? How does this fit with this? Well, first of all, we know what? It's the entity of evil, right? It's the entity of evil. And when the entity of evil totally takes over in every facet of government and a place, okay, it is totally under the control of the evil one. And because he has all the resources physically under his hands, like that, he will physically destroy the believers within that circle. And that's what you call, and this is different, totally, it's what you call persecution. All the way through history, from time of Christ, persecution. You come to a point where Satan gets sole control of every aspect of government, and they'll break out in persecution. And then what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. It's like, well, come, how about a life raft? I mean, you're like, so what you can see, when you see this coming, you go, no, he took control, and these people are being persecuted. And it says, and it talks about the martyrs in heaven crying out to God. Okay, they have an eternal place. But that's when it's consuming, when everything breaks down and Satan has worked it and he's got the whole thing and he carries out what he kills and destroys. He's ever told us what he's done. Well, they're totally controlled by evil. Then he's going to kill and destroy, specifically the church. So that's what happened. But he promises a great blessing in eternity. Okay. But we're here. We're not there yet. We're not there yet, but we see it working, right? And we know full well. I want to say something to you. This is a tangent. I want to say, do you believe Satan got his tentacles in, his believers, his those that don't care, the one black, and total filled our government thing? Do you think they would persecute the church? Yes. In a heartbeat. They're doing it now. See, they're more subtle because they can't get through the Supreme Court. Isn't that crazy? If they can't, they don't have everything, or they can't do it, but they're doing it in other ways. They can't persecute the church. I was reading about this one CEO, and they found out, and if they can't persecute the church, he's going to. But they said, how can you be our CEO and go to that church? See how it does? You see the underhanded persecution of the church? Legally, we can't persecute it, but if you work here, how can you go to that church? See, so it comes around the back door. Can't hit the church head on, but we'll come through the side. See, it's demonic, and it's happening like that. So how you stand it? You have to bind the evil one. Bind the evil. You stand strong, you know. You stand strong before the Lord. Everything's falling apart. Stand strong. You're to stand strong and rejoice. Amen? Everybody's got, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to say amen to that. What are you doing? But here's the word. Okay, the devil, unless he controls the whole country, the devil has no power over a Christian except the power of seduction. However, when resisted, he flees. James, and we need to know this one, James 4, 7, and 8. James chapter 4, 7, and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Resist him. He ain't listening to you. He ain't listening to you. I'm here preaching to serve, and the devil goes, how about that? I'm not listening to you. No. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Do you see? He will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The answer to the entity of evil is God's people through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we'll close with this verse. It just ties it all together. Salvation and the disarming of the evil one. Colossians chapter 2. This overhead explains it perfectly. Put the picture of the overhead up here. I mean, I love this picture. It explains the whole thing. And it says this in Colossians. It says, you were dead and God made you alive. By the way, you say, oh, I just did this thing, now I did. No, you were dead. Now you're alive. It's a relationship. And it said, God made you alive, having forgiven all your trespasses by canceling the record of the debt. We are convicted by the law. He nailed the law to the cross. He nailed our sins to the cross. No, he nailed the law to the cross. Canceling the record of our debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. Don't convict me of the law. It's nailed to the cross. And what did he do when he nailed it to the cross? Verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them open to open shame. He put Satan and all of them out to open shame by triumphing over Satan in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Win. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. Yes, the world is going the way of Satan, as it has since the beginning. And Lord, it is your people who call upon your name, that you look to all the evil and you say, look at my people. Look at my people. They will rejoice no matter what you do to them, no matter what the situation. They will rejoice. So we thank you, Lord, and we thank you. We are your chosen ones. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.